welcome to part three of our series, Baggage. And let me say right here, as I always like to do with this portion of our service, a heartfelt welcome to all those who are a part of our service right now live. We're so glad to have our online campus. Can everybody just welcome all those that are here live? So glad to have you here. I'm going to have someone kind of do a little bit of search and see where all people tune in from, and you'd be surprised the various locations that people are checking us out and are part of our service. And we hear from people that actually, many people that are connecting with us weekly, consistently. Sometimes they're more consistent than some of you guys in-house. But anyway, I'm just I love you. But I'm just so thankful to have you along, and you're a part of this. Let me just say right here also to our online campus that as we get into this message today, and as we do each week, we have message notes for those in-house. Those are available right there in your worship guide. We'll have some fill-in-the-blanks for you. You can follow along. We'll have things up here on the screen for you. But if you're watching online, you can download those. Those are available right now online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. And you can follow along with us. I encourage you to do so. We're in this series, again, titled Baggage, with this the purpose of this series being that we want to recognize the fact that all of us are on a journey, and we're heading towards a destination. And probably a lot of us are on the right path. We're going in the right direction, but perhaps we're not necessarily enjoying the journey. Many times that's because of baggage. Somewhere along the way, we started picking things up. And instead of, and maybe we shouldn't have picked some of those things up, and we begin to adjust. So, you know, we just start picking up, and as we go, we're adjusting, and we think, well, this is just the way life should be. I'm just going to have to cope with it and deal with it. And it all, you know, and we think that looks normal, but actually it hinders our walk. It hinders our journey. We're walking with a little bit of limp. We're not as free. So this message is about really about traveling light and living free. Amen. And actually week one we did a little survey about who are light packers and who are heavy packers. I'm a heavy packer. Sorry. I just want to be prepared. But we do kind of pick up some things that necessarily should not necessarily be a part of the journey. And I just want to say, God never intended for you to carry some of the baggage that you're carrying. And many of you even know that, and you put up with it, you cope, but you're miserable. Again, this series is about living free and traveling light. So we're going to dump some of that stuff that's not supposed to be a part of the trip, and in doing so, I believe that we're going to experience freedom. This is a liberating series. We're going to dump some stuff, right? And as I clarified in week one, that doesn't mean dump your wife or dump your husband. They got to come, okay? But some stuff that should not be a part of the trip. So today, though, really is the most serious of the five messages. I'm putting a little humor up front here because honestly, as we get on into this installment and unpack, if you will, pardon the pun, unpack this one, we're going to find out that really there's just a lot of stuff that really I think we need to deal with, and there's probably not a lot of humor in it. I'm trying, but just letting you know. We're going to deal with what I believe is 90% probably of our baggage, and that is relational baggage. Relational baggage. Relational wounds, if you will. And so let me just kind of lighten up a little bit on the front end. How many of you have ever had broken bones? Can I see hands? Anybody had a broken bone in your life? Okay. I never had a broken bone, but I had a lot of stitches. Anybody ever had over 30 stitches or so, or had a bunch of stitches, you know, and you've been stitched up? I've been hit back here. I've been hit back here twice, once as a baby. I was always just a guy who wanted to clown around and try to get on these sawhorses and make balance beams out of them in the backyard and fall and bust my head and split my head open on brick. And, you know, it didn't affect me a bit. But anyway, you know, sometimes, but we got these things that, yeah, sometimes they actually do. And let me ask you this, anybody got any knife wounds? Any knife wounds? Okay, there's a knife wound back. y'all, everybody just move that direction away from that person right there. We were like, okay. Let's take it a step further. Anybody had any gun wounds, any gunshot wounds? Okay. All right, I see one over here. All right, everybody's looking at you differently now. I'm just saying, your honesty is what comes with a price. But, you know, we all have different wounds. Let me ask one more. How about this? Has anybody ever been wounded in service, in military service? Anybody been wounded? Come on, everybody. Give it up for Dr. Dwayne Dunham over here. That's what I'm talking about. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's just awesome. But everybody's been wounded. There's physical wounds, and we know when we have physical wounds, there's hurts and that comes with that. There's pain that comes with that. Many times there's scars that reminds us of that wound that we carry with us. But we know that in time, physical things will heal and we can get over that. But there's nothing more greater than the hurtfulness of the wounded heart. And every one of us have been wounded and have experienced relational wounds. It could be an unexpected tragedy. It could be a loss of a child, or it could be a loss of a marriage. It could be an abusive dad that treated you terribly and spoke harshly to you. And what we do know, though, when we carry that baggage around of those relational wounds, if it's not addressed properly, it will increase over time, and the pain doesn't get better. Many people think, well, time will heal, but what we have come to find out is that time doesn't heal anything. In fact, oftentimes, time makes it worse if not addressed, and the wound deepens. I want to share with us this morning a story that maybe perhaps is not as well known as some of the stories in the Bible. It's found in Genesis chapter 11. There's only 6 verses really that cover this story, but I believe it's very important. Most probably everyone knows who Abraham is in the Bible and how God used him and said he was going to make him a father of many nations. And God gave him a son late in life and God blessed him. But we may not be aware of Abraham's father, Terah. And Terah, we discover as we look at Scripture here, that had some relational wounds. I'm going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, 28. It says, this is the account of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram. Now, as he was younger, he was called Abram, but he later was called Abraham, the same person. But it says that he was a father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And now Haran was probably the baby, okay, the youngest, because he was mentioned last. And then it says, and Haran became the father of Lot. And that's just a reference point because you read later on in Scripture about Lot. And it says, while his father Terah was still alive, look at this, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Now what you want to see here is that while it's making a point here to state that his father Terah was still alive when Haran died. So we can probably assume that it was an unexpected death, perhaps a premature death because the father was still alive. It could have been a disease or possibly an accident that happened, but we do know this, that the father basically had to bury the son. That's bad enough when a son has to bury a father, but it's even worse, I would think, that to have the situation where the father has to bury the son. And so here was the situation, and Haran had died. But then it goes on to say in verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Now notice, something caused him to go out of Ur and to move, and he was heading towards Canaan. he was headed to, I think it's safe to say that the scripture, it doesn't say for sure, but I think it's a safe implication, and if you're not okay with that, that's fine, I think it's a safe implication that something called him out of Ur. He was going towards Canaan, and Canaan is what is now modern-day Israel, and it is considered the promised land that God had promised the children of Israel. But notice what happened. There was a call, it appears. And this call, we know later, was on Abraham, but first it appears that the call was upon his father to go from Ur to Canaan. But somewhere along the way, something happened. Look at this. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Just hold that right there. When they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, some would say that Haran was a city that happened to be named after Terah's son, Haran. Or there's also a theory that perhaps Haran was a place just somewhere that they settled and they named it Haran. But either way, there was a situation, it appears, where it came to this place called Haran, where Terah had to face and deal with this baggage, with this pain, this relational wound. But he never, I want you to notice, he never got to the place he set out to go. But look at what it reads on to say in verse 32. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. A very sad, sad verse there. That he never made it to the place where he was going. And I just want to present to you that I believe this teaches us something here. It teaches us several things. I believe it shows us that he didn't know how to deal with the baggage that was the greatest relational wound of his life. And today, if we can be honest, many of us would say that divorce defines me. It may be a divorce that you went through, or maybe your parents had a divorce and it has shaped your life and it has defined you. It may be the way my dad treated me, that defines me. Or my experience in the schoolyard with bullies, that's defined me. I remember going to school. I grew up in Matthews, not too far from here. When I was in elementary school, I would drive my bike to school and my heart would pound because there was bullies between my house and the school. I remember going to junior high school after I moved to Florida, and there was a kid that would head me off every morning and take my lunch money and threaten to beat me up if I didn't give him my lunch money. And while we think that's humorous as a child, though, you know, it sort of shakes you. It sort of makes you insecure. And if you're not careful, some of these events and things can shape in your life, can affect you. And what happens many times when you go through these things and these things that define us, we begin to act out. It changes who we are. And sometimes, oftentimes, it even paralyzes us. I want to show you three things from this story that we can learn from the life of Terah. Okay, you ready? Get your notes and let's take down some notes here. First of all, it keeps us from our potential. Keeps us from our potential. You see, you'll never get to the place where you're supposed to go if you never deal with the relational wounds. So Terah was heading to Cana, but he never got there. He died in Haran there. He died there. He never did make it because he never dealt with it. So it will affect your potential. When you have this baggage, you actually get crazy and make some bad decisions. When you talk to people that are going through, and I've talked to many people going through some different things with their marriage, and sometimes they'll come in and they'll say some crazy stuff and some things that they're considering that's not even rational, and it's involving permanent decisions that are bad. But the fact is, the pain is so terrible that it drives you crazy, that you're going to just, you got to do something because of the pain. In fact, let me give you a scripture for that. Psalm 73 says, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was crazy. I was senseless and ignorant." So it affects you. Can I tell you that when you're going through something, you need to find some people that you can trust, that can speak some life into you. That's why church is a good place to hang out, y'all. It's not just a place just to go and feel good because I did some bad things. I want to feel good about myself. No, it's a place where you need to get in relationship and have some healthy relationship pouring into your life and speaking some life into you. You need to have some people that you can trust, that can speak into you. Because here's the fact, you're not the smartest person in the world when you are hurt or when you're offended, right? You're probably the least person you should listen to when you're going through a difficult time. And while other people, what they're saying may not make much sense, you might want to consider it. I'm going to give you a powerful statement, a powerful statement. When the enemy is attacking your life, when the enemy is attacking your marriage, it's really not about your marriage, it's not about you, and it's not about your dad, or it's not about that person. There's a bigger reason to mess you up. Every attack of the devil is an attempt to actually derail you from your purpose. There's something bigger going on. You think it's all about this thing, but actually there's something bigger that's going on. He's using that marriage to stop something bigger. See, the devil used Haran to keep him from Canaan. He used that situation to keep him fulfilling where he was supposed to be for getting to the place that God wanted him to be. God wanted to launch a nation. He used Abraham, perhaps because Terah, his father, never made it there. Are you following me? So there was something bigger. It wasn't just Haran. It wasn't just a death, but the devil used that to put a ditch in his path to keep him from attaining to the purpose for which God had called him to. You see, we get locked into that one thing when there's something bigger at stake. I've seen this so often as a pastor. And people get all bent out of that one, and you can't, and they got blinders on, they can only see that one issue, and they think that's the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is the devil's got some bigger agenda in mind against you, and he's trying to keep you from discovering your purpose. Some of us are trapped in that spot, and we're kept from our potential because we never realize that every attack of the devil is an attempt to derail your purpose. Another thing that happens that we see, and we can learn from Tara, is that it pollutes. Relational baggage pollutes our relationships. Pollutes our relationships. It messes up even the good ones. You ever been around a wounded person? And you go to kind of, you want to love them and care about them, but yet, you know, they really don't know how to have a good relationship because they've been messed up by that other person. And now they're messing you up, right? Hurt people, right? And maybe that person is you. Maybe you've been messed up, and so you're the dad. You come in yelling at the family, and you don't even know why. These are the ones you love the most and you care about the most, but somehow or other, you don't know why you're doing it because something inside of you has not been taken care of and not been resolved. I heard about a pastor, and there was a senior pastor kind of mentoring this younger pastor, but he'd been messed up by a bad relationship with his father. And the senior pastor one time said to the younger pastor, you know, wanting to care for him, he said, "I love you." And he's like, "Thanks." And he thought, put myself out there, said, "I love you." And I was kind of expecting, "I love you back," you know, and didn't get that. And then next time he talked to me, he said, "I'm going to test this. I'm going to say, I think he doesn't know how to love." And the guy said, you know, he said to him, he said, "Hey," the senior pastor said to the younger pastor, he said, next time he saw him, he said, "Hey," I looked him square in the eye and says, "I love you." And he said, "Okay, appreciate that." And he looked at me and he said, "You can't say it, can you? You can't say you love me back, can you? And you know you love me." And he said, "Come on, Say it. Just say it. Say, I love you. He's like, I appreciate you, man. But you love me, don't you? Yeah, I do. Well, then say it. You know what I mean? And he said, man, there's something going on there. Of course, they dealt with it and pastored him, and took him about 3 years, but he broke through that. He's a great pastor now of a church, doing well, thriving, and now he's free. But there was something there where, because of relational baggage, he didn't know how to love others. It can mess you up. It'll pollute other relationships. Look, let me show you this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of others. Look at what it really does. Let me give you some ways it does that. It makes us defensive. So we're going to put a wall around ourselves. You can't touch this, you know. I mean, and so there's such a tragedy. This pastor was actually keeping himself at bay from the very person that could help him, right? But he was able to break through that. I heard John Maxwell, great leadership guy. If any of you are familiar with John Maxwell, and he says one time that so many people hurt him, he decided to build a wall and just, you know, he wasn't going to let anybody in. And as long as he doesn't let them in, they can't hurt him. But then he also found out something else. As long as he's got that wall around him, not only could people not hurt him, but people couldn't help him either. And so we've got to get through. And I know I told you this was going to be the most serious of this series. But just teaching us some things. Another thing that does, it makes us defensive, but it also makes us distant. You know, we're good at that. We pull away. You know, some of you women, it's end of discussion. I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. Right. And then some of you guys just isolate yourself. I'm just going to go watch football, you know. And we just kind of, so we just distance ourselves and we pull as if that's going to solve it. Just walking away. Don't talk about it. Don't make it an issue. Let's don't deal with it. Let's just don't, because I don't want to get into it. Don't have an argument. Don't have conflict. But then when we don't deal with it, I'm not suggesting and recommending y'all go home and have an argument, so don't call me this afternoon. But I'm saying when we don't deal with things, right, it creates more of a problem. It doesn't solve things. So it makes us defensive. It makes us distant. It also it makes us demanding. Have you ever met a real demanding person that's very dominating and controlling? I would venture most of the time they're probably extremely insecure and they're trying to grab control and they're scared, really. They're very insecure, but they're trying to grab control of everything. You see it with Tara in Genesis chapter 12, and that Abraham, basically, he had to leave his dad. So this family got fragmented because he couldn't get over his issues. He stayed and died there. And Abraham said, I've got to go. It pollutes relationships. And the last and most tragic thing is it destroys our relationship with God. So it keeps us from our potential, it pollutes our other relationships, and it ultimately destroys our relationship with God. And I need to say something here that may be a little bit difficult to hear, but I believe it can save your life. And we may not like it, and we might get some pushback on this, but here's the reality. Our relationship with people is inseparable from our relationship with God. All throughout the Bible, you see it, that you can't say you love God and yet you don't love people. You can't say, read 1 John, right? You can't say, well, I love God, but I hate people. No, the Bible even gets pretty blunt about that, says, no, you're actually a liar. Because if you love God, you're going to love people. The two are inseparable. In fact, you know, you can't just say, me and God got it going on, but I'm not sure about this one, you know. And I'm not saying that you're going to be bosom buddies with everybody on the planet. You live at peace wherever at all possible. I know it's not always possible. But as far as your part is concerned, we need to be loving people. We may not like everything. We may not approve of someone's behavior, okay? But we love everybody. I just need a big amen right there. We love everybody, and that's what the world needs is love. People don't leave the church coming and finger-pointing and condemning and putting you down. What people need is love and discover the love of the Father. And some of those things, behavioral things that maybe is not approving to God, those things will take care of itself when people get in relationship with God and understand He wants their best. Amen? So we love people. We love one another. But the horizontal, I'll go as far as to say, look at this. The horizontal determines the vertical. And I know you think, well, the vertical determines the horizontal. I guess you could look at it both ways. But I believe Scripture supports the fact that many of us, I think, we wonder why we can't get connected to God as well as we should. But the fact is we haven't settled some of the horizontal. Look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, when you are praying, first forgive. He said, when you come praying, you asking me for something? You asking the Father for something? Begin here. First forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Well, now that's something right there. So he's saying, you need to get this right because there's something blocking. There's something in the way. I'm not hearing you clearly because you've got, you know, one scripture says, leave your gift at the altar. If a brother has aught against you, not if you have aught against, if he has aught against you, go be reconciled, then come and give your gift to God. So he's saying, look, so first things first, first forgive. I wish there was another solution there, but there's not. It's called forgiveness. Why? Because he knows, listen to this, you're not going to be able to receive what he wants to do in your life unless you are willing to extend it to others. Amen? You know, and actually it's just wrong to say, God, I'll take this forgiveness, but I'm not going to give it to others. In fact, they asked Jesus, what's the most important law? He said, well, I'll give you two. They kind of go hand in hand. Love God, right? And love others. Love people. Love God, love people. They're inseparable. It goes together. It shows up even in the Lord's Prayer, which is really a dangerous prayer to pray if you really look at it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. He says, "And it's within the Lord's Prayer. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So how do you forgive? Could it be related to how God forgives you? Could it be that, well, I haven't really forgiven, well, but this says, forgive us our debts. So think about that. God, the same way I'm forgiving those that done me wrong, I want you to forgive me that way. Come on, y'all don't want that, right? Some of us don't want that. We got to forgive because we want full forgiveness, right? I want complete forgiveness. I've messed up, God. I'm asking for your mercy and your grace. God, I need that. Guess what? That person that's offended you, they need the same thing. Well, they haven't deserved it. Guess what? It's not about their part. It's about your part. It's about what we give, right? He goes on to say, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So that is a very powerful scripture to pray. So forgive them the same way that God forgives us, the same way. So it's not just about your marriage. It's not just about your dad. It's not just about your issue. It's not just about your pain. This affects you and God. And this is serious. We need to settle the horizontal or the vertical is not going to work. Can I just tell you, nothing's going to work until you settle that. Well, the good news is the God we serve specializes in healing the broken heart. Come on. The God we serve specializes in that. And some have lost hope. I heard of one individual that was being counseled by a pastor, and he was offering to him, you're going to have to let this go. You're going to have to forgive this person. And he said, I'm not going there. And he said, if that's what it takes, then I don't want it then. And he said, really? He said, you're willing to forfeit everything God has for you because you want to hold this against them? And the individual said, yes, yep, I can't go there. And how unfortunate. How unfortunate. You need to know God heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Psalm 147:3. You need to know this. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God's a healer. Come on, everybody. God doesn't just raise the dead and heal those that are lame and blind and heal physical wounds. He heals the heart. Amen. He is still the healer. And the great physician has not closed up shop. He is still the great physician. Amen. He heals the broken heart, binds up their wounds. Let me give you another scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians, which I stated in week one that this is our theme scripture that we're building this series around. That says, for we live in the world and we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we talked about that word strongholds. That's when stuff attaches itself to you. That's the baggage. That's the strongholds. And strongholds is, listen to this, strongholds is something you believe that actually is a lie. And the only way to defeat that stronghold, to get rid of that baggage in your life, is to change the way you think. So look what it goes on to say. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so I want to give you some thoughts, some truth. And it may be the toughest thing to do, and it may be you're reluctant not to do this, but I urge you to consider, and is your way working? You know, is the revenge way the way to work? They actually came up with a show on TV called Revenge. I never watched it. But I've heard that there are sites you can go online and you know, don't do this, okay? But Google Revenge and, you know, you could send a cow dung to somebody. Come on, send them a cow dung. Can you, I'm not going to explain what that is if you don't know what that is, okay? The only person you're going to hurt there is the mailman. I'm just saying. So I mean, it's crazy, right? There's a much better way, okay? And these things may be counterintuitive, but write this down. Number one, reveal the hurt. Now, what we like to do is tuck it away, you know? I'm going to tuck it in here. I'm going to hide it. Nobody will see it. I'll just walk around with it. No. Reveal the hurt. Don't tuck it away. That's why we around here stress small groups, because we want to get you in relationship. I'm telling you, the healthiest people in this church are in small groups. It's true. Hey, the happiest people in this church are in small groups. Because no matter how much I give you up here on Sunday mornings, it's not enough. I know the phenomenal preaching. I know that I haven't got enough. I haven't got enough to solve your problems. You need more than this. You need to get in relationship with somebody that knows you, that you can trust, that you can have a conversation with. They can pour into you, and you can pour into them. And I'm telling you, that's where life happens. Come on. Iron sharpens iron. Pray for one another that you may be healed. It's God's system. He designed it that way. Only thing he said that was not good is to be alone, right? We need each other. We need relationship. And so I encourage you, get into a small group. See Pastor Steve, and he'll help you. In fact, there's a couple small groups meeting today, one for ladies, one for men, this afternoon, actually. Men's having barbecue, just letting you ladies know. I don't know, y'all cooking up something, but we're having barbecue. And look, host a small group. Maybe we don't have the small group that you're looking for. Lead one. Pastor Steve will show you how to do that. Well, I got too many issues of my own. I got pain of my own. I need somebody to help me. I don't need to help somebody else. Listen, when you step into this place of God using you, something happens miraculous. God begins to work in you and through you, and as he's helping somebody else, you get helped in the process. See, come on, we'll help you. You don't have to have it all together. You don't need to be a bag of chips and two. You know, all you need is a bag of chips. You just need some Doritos. That's all you need. And open up your home, and we'll show you how, right? And get into a small group. Get into relationships. Psalm 32:3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When I kept silent. Let me give you another one. Psalm 39:2. But when I kept silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. So when I tuck that away, don't share it. I'm going to deal with it. I can handle this. I'll get better in time. I can't unpack this right now. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings here, but that verse will become your verse. Your anguish will increase when you tuck it away and you don't share with someone. Let me give you another thing to consider. Reveal the hurt. Number two, release the people involved. And you will continue to carry the bag of luggage everywhere you go until you do this. No matter what job you take, you go from one marriage to the other marriage, or one town to another town, or one church to another church, you will carry the baggage with you until you do this. And I'd like to find an easier way for you to do this, okay? I could look for it. I wish I could offer you something else. But this is it. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. There's no other solution other than forgiveness. And the longer you hold on to it, the more, listen to this, you start looking like them, that problem, that person. And you'll start doing the same thing to them or to others that they have done to you. But if you'll receive the truth of God's word and realize you need to forgive them, and even though they don't deserve to be let go, listen, we didn't deserve to be let go. And you'll never have to forgive someone else more than God's already forgiven you. It's the truth. And I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. So it's crucial that we let it go. Peter must have had somebody that kept doing wrong in his life. Well, they did me wrong. They did me wrong again. They did me wrong again, Lord. They did me wrong again. So he goes to Jesus, and he's trying to be, I think, perhaps a little cute there, just kind of man up. There was a Jewish law that says that when you forgive someone, you forgive them three times. Well, he doubled it and added one. So he's like, he's the head of the class now, right? And look what he says to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus said this. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. One scripture says it's 70 times seven, which is even more, okay? And so what he's saying is that we continue to forgive, and how he was stressing how important it is to forgive. And if you read on, there's a parable in that chapter 18 of Matthew that talks about the seriousness of forgiving others. And God can't do this work in your heart unless you extend it to others. And it's not about the incident. If you don't release this, if you don't release people, it becomes something about you. And I just want to encourage you today to allow God to give you the capacity to do this. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot. Jesus Christ is our model. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. Come on, when he suffered, when they were putting nails in his hands, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. I just want to encourage you. God will take care of that thing if you give it to him. The next one's fun, okay? I told you this was serious, but this next one's fun. Once we reveal the pain and we release people that have offended us, if the whole thing is not about the incident but about the derailing of our purpose, then it only makes sense to, number three, refocus on God's plan for my life. I want to encourage you. Don't let that incident stop you from the greatest potential God has for your life. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, and when he had the chance to get them back, here's what he said to them. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Joseph knew it wasn't just about him. There was a greater purpose. It was bringing the children of Israel, come on, out of bondage, right? Out of this place of need, and or out of this place of there was a barrenness going on, and he brought them in this place of land of Goshen where they increased. Then later God had a plan to move them out of that place, out of bondage. Come on, God's got a master plan in charge. And we, listen, the devil just wants us to have tunnel vision. You ever see people with tunnel vision? Those are dangerous people. They drive. They don't use their mirrors. They don't look around them, you know. I mean, they're in their own world, you know. And they can be a danger on the road. Can I tell you, God wants you to see the bigger picture and not get caught up in that one isolated incident. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Job chapter 11. And this, I want you to really focus on this scripture. I want you to listen to this. I want to encourage you with this one. And that is to put your heart right. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. And here's what will happen. Then you can face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Scripture says, put your heart right. Reach out to God. Can I just tell you, that's where this whole thing starts. That's really the first step. If you've been wounded, if you've got a hurt heart, if you're carrying around baggage that's relational, it all starts by reaching out to God. He's the one that gives you the capacity to be able to release that thing, to be set free. But the first step is putting your heart right. Put your heart right. And you know where your heart is. Really, you really do. You know if your relationship is where it should be with God. I just want to encourage you today, let this be the day where you put your heart right with God. And it may be that your heart is not where it needs to be, and it may be intentional or it may be unintentional. It may be that it was in the right place. You had God, you and God had a good relationship, but it's just not what it needs to be. It's not where you used to be. Well, not where it can be. I want to give you an opportunity today to take that first step of just setting your heart right. Simply by giving Him your heart, allowing Him to come in as the healer and heal. I'm telling you, forgiveness and healing is available today. So if that's you today, I want you to be bold. What I want to do is I want to pray a prayer with you today. Right where you're seated, not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I'm simply going to lead you in a prayer of allowing your heart to be set right. If you're watching online, I want to encourage you just to join with us. Pray this prayer with us. If that's you, you need to pray this prayer. But if you're in this house today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to know just who I'm agreeing with. If you just be so bold, just slip up a hand and put it right back down. Good job. Yes, yes. Yes, hands going up all over the place. If you're watching online, again, join us. And I just want to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. But right now, if that's you and say, I need to pray that. Maybe you raised your hand and maybe you didn't. But this is your moment right now. Would you join with us? I want to have everybody praying this out loud for support. Come on. If you need to pray it, just mean it. Say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. For forgiving me. Yes, Lord, forgive me for going my own way. I want a right relationship with you. I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross so I could have that relationship. Lord, I turn from my way to follow you. Forgive me of my mistakes and my sins. Today I give you my life. I invite you to come in and heal my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. And with all my heart, I will follow you. Come on, say this. Today I declare, you are my Lord and my Savior. And I will follow you as you help me. And Lord, I pray for every person who just made that best decision of their life. I pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would flood their heart and their mind and their life. I pray, oh God, that you would guide them step by step to follow you. I pray for the healing of hearts today. Healing of relationships. I pray for, Lord, even restoration where possible. I thank you that you're the God who heals, and you are the God who does restore our heart. And God gives us a brand new path and sets us free. Thank you today. I pray for every marriage, every relationship, every relationship between a husband and a wife, a parent and a child, an employer and an employee. God, I pray for friendship, relationship. God, I pray healing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. God, as we surrender our life to you and follow you and release it to you, God, you're able, Lord, to heal and make everything brand new. God, we give you all the praise for all you're doing and have done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen.